Welcome to Saturday afternoon, and that means it's time to talk home improvement. This is Around the House with Eric G. As temperatures drop and kids go back to school, the risk of bringing sickness into your home goes up. That's why we're bringing in a healthy home expert to go over everything you can do to keep your home sanitary and safe.
America's healthy home expert. For over 17 years, she's been helping homeowners and physicians diagnose problems that may be lurking in your home. She's developed a national reputation as one of the home consultants in the country. Her clients span throughout the U.S. and internationally. She's also worked on the homes of the most famous to average everyday person who wants to environmentally improve their living space. Welcome, Carolyn.
Hey, guys. Hey, Eric G. How you doing?
Excellent. How you doing? We're going to be going out to break in a minute, but I just thought we'd start the conversation here before we do that and start talking about healthy homes.
Excellent. I'm all up for it.
All right. Well, let's talk about what you do, because it's pretty amazing with your background and how you're helping people out there, because there's a lot of problems with unhealthy homes.
I've been investigating homes for 20 years, and I work, you know, with physicians, with homeowners, contractors, and I get called in to kind of evaluate how everybody's doing. If people are sick, I look for issues in the home. So it's kind of, I'm an investigator, and it's cool. It's very cool.
Nice. So what are some of the things that you're seeing as some of the biggest problems that you see out there with unhealthy homes?
Well, I think there's just so much that goes wrong in a home. So when someone purchases a home as a homeowner, they think, okay, one and done, right? I'm just finished. I don't have to do anything. And you know as well as I do that there's a lot that goes on with the house. So water problems, mold, you've got chemicals that you bring in, whether you have radon, lead, all of these things are issues. And so it can make a lot of people sick when you've got a lot of stuff that's going on at one time.
Oh, yeah. In the Pacific Northwest here, as you're familiar with, we've got, on the west side of the mountains here, we've got so many mold issues, high moisture content, because we get that 6 months of rain in the wintertime when our houses are all closed up. So we get those kind of problems in nearly every house. It's just depending on how bad is it.
That's right. And relative humidity is a huge issue now, no matter where you live in the country, whether my clients are in New York to California, everybody's dealing with relative humidity or moisture in some capacity, and that leads to mold problems. So, it's just a big, big issue.
It is, and it's, I think what happens too is that we get these new homes that are so closed up that maybe they didn't plan the HVAC system correctly or whatever else, and then you throw pets and everyday life into it. And I've walked into some homes that were fairly new that I've walked in that just, I don't have any big health problems, but I could barely breathe 5 minutes standing in someone's home.
That's right. And that's all because of the tightening. You know, we've made everything so energy efficient that, which is great, right? Because
yeah.
Air conditioning doesn't kick on a lot. Our HVAC doesn't kick on a lot. But then what happens is we use that HVAC to eliminate moisture or take, you know, moisture out of the air. And if it's not coming on, guess what? You're going to have a moisture problem now because you've increased your energy efficiency. So we trade one thing for another, and then we have a lot of sick people.
Yeah, that's just not good. Well, when we come back here, Carolyn, I'm going to stick you on hold for just a second. After this commercial break, we're going to continue talking here with Carolyn Blazowski. She is America's healthy home expert. We're going to be talking about this kind of home and what we have to do to keep it healthy. Sit tight. We'll be back with her just as soon as Around the House returns. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every Saturday afternoon. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vauder.
We're having fun in here. I want to mention that Western Construction System, it's a rainy season, and guess what? Leaky basement issues? Call Western Construction Systems. Get a free estimate. The integrity of your foundation is their specialty guaranteed, and they are CCB number 94222. All right. Well, we've been having a great conversation. If you're just joining us here, we've been talking with Carolyn Blazowski, and I wanted to talk about mold issues because you are one of the experts in the country that is definitely one of the trusted experts, and mold is such a huge problem here in the Northwest.
Exactly. And I like to kind of talk about, Eric, what are molds? Like, what do they do? Because people just say, well, I don't understand. Well, you know, I have a little mold in my home. Why is it a big deal? And so molds are just like people. They need air. They need food. They need water. And when they get the right conditions, just like you know, especially I'm in the Northeast, you're in the West, when they get these conditions, they just start to grow. And they do three things. So they're the fuzzy thing that you see growing on a piece of fruit or in your shower, on your drywall. That's a spore. And that spore can basically cause allergies in a percentage of the population. But these things also, they smoke cigarettes, I call them, in your house. They put off VOCs, just like we associate with paints, right? So we hear paint VOCs. Well, mold put them off too. They're called MVOCs, like Mary VOC.
Cool.
They put off this, you know, nasty stuff that we breathe in. And then thirdly, if you have toxic mold, like the ones we hear about that make people really sick, then they're putting off mycotoxin. So that's why these things are just so bad. And when they start to, you know, grow in your home, they cause everything from allergies to immune problems to cancer. So that's why we don't want them there and we want to get rid of them.
I have a really bad mold allergy, so bad that I can literally walk into somebody's home and within about 30 seconds go, you've got a mold problem. Because my chest tightens, and I'm batting about, 400 of 400 on that, when I'm like, you need to get some testing done, you've got a problem, because I can feel my chest tighten, you know, all the things, all the signs of that.
And that's like a typical mold allergy, but then on top of it, some people never get that, and then they get a mycotoxin exposure. Like, molds are cool, right? So I always talk, say you and I are a mold, and you and I are fighting for drywall. If we are in the same space and we're colonizing our own colonies, we'll start throwing off mycotoxin at each other to try to kill the other mold spore off. We're not doing it to make people sick. We don't know. We just know we're protecting our own territory. So it's neat that they actually are really resilient and very smart about how they operate, and they're just trying to protect their territory. But when they do that, they can make you really sick.
So what I've got a question for you. This is a battle that I have with some people on the interweb out there. I'm not a fan of using bleach water to kill mold. I actually like using some of the mold killers out there. What are your thoughts on it? I get mixed answers from people on that.
Well, your answer, I mean, the EPA does not recommend bleach at all anymore to kill any type of mold. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One is it bleaches the spore but doesn't remove the spore. So if you have a mold spore and it bleaches it out, you're still going to have that protein left behind that can contribute to allergies. So it doesn't get rid of it. The second thing is there's been studies done that showed that when there was toxic mold exposure where they had mycotoxin and they mixed it with bleach, it actually had carcinogenic effects. So two reasons. And also the EPA is not their guideline. And you're right, there's better products out there, like Concrobium is a great one you can pick up at a local hardware store. We use hydrogen peroxide and Benefect, which is actually a natural, it's like an herb disinfectant. So there's a lot of natural things you can use too, which I recommend a lot. You know, the less harsh of a chemical you can use to remove, do in a mold remediation project, the better.
Sure, yeah. And the other thing is too, is that when you're mixing mold and bleach and water together, if you didn't get things killed, you're just adding more moisture to feed the mold that you missed.
Exactly. And what we do now, believe it or not, because I'm a certified mold remediator by trade, even though I don't do mold remediation, I do more investigation, but we use the hydrogen peroxide to kind of bring out, like, so if you spray it on, like, 2x4, let's just say you're spraying down a basement, it actually bubbles up, right? And you get that, all that toxin and everything to come to the surface, and then you wipe it with a Benefect or a disinfection solution, and it works really great, because it's bringing it out. That's the whole point, because everything gets saturated, so you want it to come out.
Yeah, it's just not on the surface. It's growing and getting down. Any place that you get oxygen into it, it's going to be in there.
Exactly.
That's great. Man, I'm learning stuff here. This is great, Carolyn. This is awesome stuff. So what are some of the things that you recommend with people? Because, I mean, literally every house out there could have a mold issue that people don't understand or know about.
So, the first thing, while we're talking about hydrogen peroxide, I recommend all my clients go to, you know, a local convenience store, get hydrogen peroxide. It comes in a spray bottle, you know, like the darker spray, and then you can go to a bigger, you know, retailer and fill those little bottles. Spray your shower down in your toilet frequently. If you spray your shower with hydrogen peroxide once a week, it will keep the mold from forming. It helps it, you know, just stay cleaner. It doesn't allow it, give it the environment to form, so it's great. Like, so just spraying your shower down, your tile, whatever, you know, if you have an enclosure or whatever you have, just spray it down and it'll help it keep everything at bay. Also, to make sure that you do get your house tested every 3 years, that's my protocol. You want to do air samples, one on each level of the home, you know, about every 3 years or so, just to make sure that you aren't developing a mold problem within the walls that you can't see.
That's awesome. And that hydrogen peroxide as well will knock down that orange scum that starts to come in.
That kind of grime.
That grime.
Yeah,
that's kind of the beginning of a mold problem, you know.
What's nice about hydrogen peroxide is it doesn't leave behind any chemical residue like bleach does. It's just, you know, hydrogen and water when it breaks down. So you've got nothing to worry about. You don't have to worry about the safety with your family. Just, you know, don't want to use it on something that can bleach out color like wood or something like that.
Oh, yeah. That makes a ton of sense. So I want to talk a little bit about moving air around the house, because that is part of this problem, is air filtration and or lack thereof, or including, you know, just having damp spaces with no air movement. What are your thoughts on great ventilation?
Well, we obviously recommend it, but as we talked about earlier, we're tightening that building envelope. So now we have less mechanical, you know, HVAC coming on because we're trying to be energy efficient, but we still have moisture. We shower, we have cooking, we have just regular relative humidity that gets trapped in the building, and that has to be released. And if it's not, it tries to find its way out in other openings, you know, especially like if you build with products like OSB, which I don't recommend, because it's just not, the water vapor can't pass through it.
Yeah.
So what happens is it gets trapped in the building envelope and people start to develop mold inside the house. So you really want to either do an HVAC system. What we're doing now is we're installing dehumidification with a ventilation, like an ERV, on your furnace. So if you have forced air, that'll work for you. And then you can basically duct that and have that system come on when your HVAC isn't on, and that's helping to move the air and then also remove the relative humidity.
See, we've got some problems here in the Northwest, like many other places. You know, we don't really get in many of the populated areas here, like where Seattle and Portland and everywhere else over here on the western side of the mountains. People will start building homes and framing homes right now. So the problem is that they frame this home up. It sits there with completely drenched lumber. I've walked into homes that are getting the OSB put on the roofs, and there's 3 inches of water, a couple inches of water laying flat on the floor of the
Isn't
first level.
Isn't that horrible? I don't understand what people are thinking. And then they seal it up, and then the people have mold and building problems.
Yeah, I went into one house in Seattle about a decade ago where it was hard rain outside and I was wearing a rain jacket. There was a waterfall coming off the second level above the staircase where you go up, coming over like a waterfall, that I couldn't get into the kitchen to measure it for, because I'm a kitchen designer by trade, because there was so much water coming over the top of that.
That's crazy. And then also, too, you get people who come up and want to build in your area, that like from California, that aren't used to building, so they don't build with overhangs, which is a big thing. And
yeah.
Then also the gutter sizes are too small. So, you know, we have to look at the climate and build for that climate. And I just don't think we do enough of that at all, period.
We don't. Well, we're going to go out to break here, Carolina. If you could stay over, I'd love to have you over, because I want to talk about what questions people ask when they're going to go buy a home and what they should be looking for. Because I think that's a tip that people just don't think about with healthy homes.
Absolutely.
All right. When we come back, we'll be jumping into that. Sit tight, Carolyn. Also, we wouldn't mind getting your calls at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Please join us in the conversation just as soon as Around the House returns. To Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every Saturday afternoon. I want to get us out to our guest here, because we have got a hot topic we've been talking about today. Let's jump back here to Carolyn Blazowski from America's Healthy Home Expert. We've been talking everything about getting homes healthy, and I know right before the break we were starting to dive into talking about, really, if you're going to buy a house, what should you look for? Because people just don't really think about these things. I think it's not, they get so emotionally attached to a purchase, but they don't think about the health hazards that could be happening in their new residence.
Absolutely. So I have two guidelines. So if you're going to purchase a home, first two things you have to do is, one, do a mold test, because that's an expensive fix. If you get in and then you find out you have toxic mold or you've got a heavy-duty mold problem, not every problem presents with that ick smell that everybody smells when they go into a basement and says, oh, it's moldy. Your nose can be really deceptive. It can be in the walls, and you just can't smell it. So that's the first thing. Do a mold test on your home. The second thing is you always do a water test. Whether you have a well or city water, it doesn't matter. Once you get in, we see the issues with Flint, Michigan, with all the old piping. That's something you can't tell, and then when you do get in, you're stuck with the water that you have on the purchase. So those are my first two recommendations, and I usually say write it into a contract before you go in and say, look, we're going to do these two first before we do additional full-on home inspections. So if those come back, you can get out of your contract.
You know, that's really smart advice, because so many homeowners that are even selling their homes financially aren't in the position to deal with the correct remediation of a major mold issue.
No, and it's very expensive. And it, I mean, even as a home inspector, 20 years, when I look at a home, I've been fooled myself. Like, I can go into a home and it can look pristine. And you can not ever suspect that there'd be an issue, and there is. So, and likewise, sometimes you go in and it smells really bad, but there really isn't a mold problem. It's just that the ground underneath the home is just so damp that it's been saturated, and you get a lot of smell and that dampness and the musty odor, not necessarily, but a mold issue. So it can go either way. So make sure you do that. And also, just to let your listeners know, my job is to investigate if people are sick in a home and, you know, if people are having symptoms with their physician and they're kind of not able to diagnose what the problem is. If you've had testing done and you've gone and you say, and the doctor says you're fine, you know, nothing comes back, you've had your blood work, your urine work, you've had scans, tests, nothing comes back, start looking at problems in your home, because a lot of the times, a lot of the things that we have are because of our environments.
Oh, it's amazing. My buddy Skip Bedell, who did the show Catch a Contractor with Adam Carolla, that was on Spike TV when it was called Spike TV, they had a house they went into that they had a kid in there that was, they thought it was just a bathroom problem with a bad renovation, and they didn't realize that the sewer was leaking into the concrete slab and coming up in cracks in the kid's bedroom. And they had a mold thing, and it was a huge deal. They had to stop production for weeks just to get the cleanup done.
Yep, and it's not just mold. I mean, mold's just one aspect of what can go wrong in a home. We look at VOCs, how it's built. Do you have a high chemical load? Are you using a lot of pesticides? Do you have semi-volatiles? All of these things build up, and people, you know, we do it to ourselves a lot of the time, Eric. It's like, yeah, we bring in all these, you know, the men bring in all the petrochemicals, right? You're bringing in your toys and your you know, everything from your snow blower to your weed whacker and whatever, and then you're loading the house up with, you know, petroleum product, and then the women are bringing in all the fragrances and the candles and all the air freshener, and between the two, people make themselves sick, and unbeknownst to them, that, you know, they end up with asthma or they end up with neurologic conditions or fibromyalgia, and they're just not aware that they're doing it by contaminating their environment.
I've walked into people's houses that had such a horrible rodent problem in their crawl space that was just coming up through.
Me too.
I've walked in, I know you have too, I've walked in where my eyes are watering from the ammonia smell. And people have no idea this is going on, and I can't believe that our noses will self-adjust to ignore that.
Well, it happens. It's called, like, olfactory fatigue. It means that once you're living with a smell or, you know, even air freshener, you get used to it, so you just have more and more, and you don't smell it. And the interesting thing about the rodent piece is that the life cycle of a rodent, right, and how it, you know, from its eating and then its feces and all of that actually produces mold problems as well. So I've been in houses where we couldn't figure out why there was a mold problem. Like, it was coming up in samples, and it was actually from the mouse, like the way they, you know, their feces and all of the urine and stuff like that allows molds to grow. So it's two things. You don't want that there because they carry disease, and then they also, you know, produce proteins that cause allergens, but they also contribute to mold issues as well.
Man, Dad, it's there's so many different things that can be huge problems out there. Carolyn, we're going to have to go out to break here in a minute or two, but I want to talk about how is the best place for people to find you, because I know you're everywhere, but I want to get them directed correctly to you.
Right, so healthyhomeexpert.com, or they can type in our company name, which is My Healthy Home. But if you type in Healthy Home, My Healthy Home, Healthy Home Expert, you'll find us. You can test your home anywhere in the country. So if you, you know, are concerned about that you may have a problem, we do all types of testing. You just call us. You can order a test from us. We can send it to you. So it doesn't matter where you are. If you've got issues, give us a ring.
So great. So if people want to dip that testing done, they can just go there and get all that from you in one nice spot.
Yep, and we have lots of media clips like this one, so you can listen and get information too. It's always important just to get educated on the topic and understand where you're living and what you could be exposing yourself to, and also make yourself healthier in your home. You know, it's a positive thing.
It is. It's one of those things that, as I say, it's, you got to know this stuff, because if not, you're going to be in a huge health problem down the road. Carolyn, thank you so much for joining us. Love to have you back on again.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Have a great day. Thank you. All right. We'll be back just as soon as Around the House returns.